What was your first automotive crush?
Vicky Butler Henderson. I'm not the world's best driver, but you can't not look great in one of those cars. It gets worse. It gets worse. And he said, I'll do you a really good deal because it's not shifting. So I bought it. And by the time I got back to Southampton, so maybe a 3-4 hour drive, I called him up and said, can you take it back? I think you're all going to hate me for what happened next then. Then I went silly. So I went and bought a Huracan. I'm just a petrolhead. I'm addicted to cars.
Hello and welcome to Fueling Around. I'm Vicky Butler-Henderson.
And I'm Dave Vitti, bringing you the very best in motortainment every single week. Fueling Around is powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help you save money on your car, your bike, or even your home insurance.
Don't forget to press subscribe on YouTube so that you never miss an episode, or press follow on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts from. Now then, today's special guest is a highly trained and highly decorated elite athlete specialising in 400 metres. He's represented Great Britain at the Olympics and the Commonwealth Games. He still runs for fun. He's dad to three boys, and has a podcast as well, and is generally an all-round lovely bloke. He is Ewan Thomas.
Apparently I'm elite. I've never been heard that. Never been called elite.
I thought you were elite. I thought that
I'll take it.
I thought
once upon a year I might have been an elite athlete.
Exactly why we're giving you the title.
Okay.
I think once elite, always elite.
Do you think so? Is it a bit like when people say ex-Olympian, you say, whoa. Apparently, you're never an ex-Olympian. Once you're an Olympian, always an Olympian.
Exactly. So always elite.
So I can go home and say, I'm elite.
Stick it on your email signature or something. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for coming in. You have been on the show many, many moons ago. 5 years ago, I think it was, at which point you had one son called Teddy. You now have three sons. That's how much has changed since you were last in one of these chairs. Three sons, age 7, 4, and 2.
Correct.
If my memory and my math serves me right. So first of all, you've obviously been busy since we saw you last. And secondly, how on earth does Mrs. Thomas cope with looking after four little boys every day?
I know. It must be tough. Like, the thing is, I've never really grown up. And I actually think that makes me a better dad for being that way, because I'm not the strict one. I'm sort of like good cop, and I do all the fun things, and I just walk away when it gets a bit heated. So I love it, and my boys are just proper boys. You know, the 7-year-old plays football and he's really into it, and the other two are just crazy. They're just mini me's, really. So like, jump, if they were here now, they'd be hanging off things and jumping over bits and pieces. And yes, I think it's how I was.
But this is it. You know, I'm only half joking when I say about your wife having four little boys to look after, because in terms of the mentality in that crazy household of yours, it must be for her like four little boys.
It must be. And we had Frank the Tank, no longer with us, sadly, our little Frenchie. So imagine when he was still around. Oh. Chaos. Yeah, the house is pure chaos.
My heart absolutely goes out to Mrs. T, may I say. Also, because you aren't often home either, so she's definitely left to deal with things, because you are busy co-hosting a podcast as well. So tell us about that. So if anyone can, after they've listened to you on this podcast, they can find your other one.
Well, if you enjoy four wheels like I do, and you like two wheels, then tune in to Full Chat. So it's myself and David Pratton, ex-footballer, and just talking about our love of motorbikes. And I was into bikes before cars. That's my dad's fault. He's into motorbikes. And yeah, we have wonderful guests every week where we just talk about their bike history, what makes biking so unique and so special. It's a hard one to explain if you're not into bikes, but there's something very beautiful about putting that helmet on, shutting the visor, being at one with yourself and just going wherever you want to go. For me, I feel for a lot of people, cars are a mode of transport. Long gone are the days, really, where I still do, to be fair, but long gone are the days perhaps where people go, I'm jumping in the car, I'm just going to go for a drive. Was with a bike quite often. Do you know, I've got a spare afternoon, I'm just going to go on the bike. Where are you going to go? Don't know.
Yeah.
And that's how I see bike, and just escapism.
I ride a bike, I mean, badly. I mean, I'm brilliant in a straight line, but I have to get off it around a corner. But there's something very mindful about being on a bike, because you have to be so present, because everything, you have to be so alert and aware. Whereas in a car, you have so many more distractions, unfortunately. Yeah. So there is something very pure about motoring on two wheels. I agree with you on
that. I'm the same as you. Straight line, give it some.
Brilliant, yeah.
I used to do a bit of like track and trail, a bit of off-roading, greylaning, and I'd turn up at these events and for the first half of the day, I'm taking it quite steady. Then I get overtaken by loads of kids. And after lunch, I get a bit too confident. I think, yeah, I've got this. First two times out, A&E. Yeah.
No
hurt
way.
Myself. Yeah. But never mind. That's part of biking.
Yeah.
So Full Chat, did you say it was called?
Full Chat.
Full Chat. So Full can Chat. I find this on YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube, Spotify.
Right.
Get on there, yeah.
It sounds excellent.
We really love it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So if I go on to YouTube,
yeah.
Go for Full Chat and then press the subscribe button.
Please do.
Ah.
I'm subscribed
every
already.
Every extra listener helps. And
absolutely.
We would love to have you on board as one of our fans. Let's call it
sounds,
fans. Yeah.
Sounds excellent. Well, listen, back to Four Wheels
yes.
for now, because the reason that you are here, I mean, other than the fact that you're elite and we like you, is that the main reason that you're here is that you are a dyed-in-the-wool petrolhead. There's no two ways about it. You always have been. You always will be. Tell Vicky, if you will, about the American toy, which is currently residing in your garage, which only comes out of the weekends, because I'm not sure that she knows about this. But also, it's going to be joined by a new little friend, a new little continental friend, I believe,
yes.
in a matter of weeks
La-la.
Or months.
Yeah. So I have like a 76-year-old Ford F1. So 1950. It's on air rides, it's slammed to the ground.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
It looks like in cars.
Yeah.
Is it not the truck in cars?
It does look a little bit mater. It looks like that. And the best bit is, I told the missus a massive lie. How much you pay for that? And I said what I told her I paid, which was not true. And she goes, I'm surprised you paid that much. It's rusty. Because basically, it's the patina. It's obviously made to look that way.
That's
so
brilliant.
A lot of the fiberglass panels, they've been made to look old. But the actual main shell of the car is like 76 years old. So, yeah, it's got a Chevy 5.7 small block. It was supercharged. I've changed that now. It's got a tunnel ram twin carb set up, spits flames.
Oh my
absolutely
gosh.
Amazing. And I've stripped it out so it's converted to right hand drive. Imagine ratty on the outside,
yeah.
race truck on the inside. So it's all carbon fiber inside, all digital dashes. She won't see this. I have spent way too much on it. And the whole thing was when I turned 50. I thought I'm going to go and get myself a silly car again. And I've had a Lamborghini Huracan, for example. I loved it. I said, do you know what? With all due respect, anyone with deep pockets can go and buy, you know, a McLaren or not. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyone can get it.
To an extent, anybody
can. I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of people with too much spare cash who can go and buy that kind of car. I thought I'm going to get something that's been built, not brought. And I also thought it cost me a fraction of the price. I've now ended up spending more on that than I probably would for getting another Lambo. But it is brilliant. And when I take it to any car shows, genuinely, people flock around it because it's so different.
Yeah.
And you do see a lot of supercars and they all serve a purpose and it's amazing. But I like something with a bit of character. And I've also, as Dave said, just got something else which I'm rebuilding because it really takes me back to my youth. My second car I owned back in the day, when I was at uni, I started to run quite well and I got like a grant towards warm weather training costs. I got like a £3,000 grant to pay for medical bills, warm weather training. Where did I go? I went to buy a Peugeot 205 GTI 1.9. All the money went straight on that. And I absolutely loved it. And I drove around uni like I was the king. And when I sold it, I genuinely really missed that car. So I've got another one. So I've got a 205 GTI, but this is an MI16 engine swap. On throttle bodies, the lot, and I've got a dimmer kit which has come over from Belgium.
Oh my gosh.
And they will not be happy when they hear this, but I've totally cut the dimmer kit up. I'm just going sort of resto mod. Yeah, it's going to look really cool. So this is my, and that's more usable than the truck. So, you know, I kind of, and this is a bit sad. The reason why I got the truck as well is, you know that JCB song about the guy sitting in his dad's lap
in
the JCB?
And it's loppy, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I really felt like I want to build memories with my kids.
Yeah. Mm.
And I just thought, my kids will not remember the black RS6 or whatever shiny car I'm at, but they're going to remember this truck.
Yeah.
So I bought it to do the school run.
Oh, my
God. But it's so loud, I can't.
Well, I was going to say, do you know who else will remember the truck? Is your neighbours.
Yeah, my neighbours
as well, who I'd imagine would love that on the school run.
Yeah, it's a bit loud. But that's why I've gone for the 205, because it's a bit more usable.
Yeah.
So it's all about memories for my kids, because genuinely, my favourite memories with my dad growing up are either on the back of his motorbike or him taking me out in his Alfa Romeo at the weekend, seeing a boy racing a little Astra or something, saying, come on, let's have it. And it's really sad, like, without getting too nostalgic. I look at my dad now as an 82-year-old and, you know, doesn't really drive as much as he did. And I thought, you know, he was my hero when I was younger.
Yeah.
He loved cars,
got
me into cars. And I just think, to a certain degree, yes, you've got to be sensible in life, but you also have to live for the moment. I've got some silly toys.
So where did that passion actually come from? You say your dad, but was there a particular journey or a particular car that suddenly sort of tripped the switch for you?
I just think generally growing up, my dad was really into cars. I can't say it wasn't because I watched Formula One or anything on TV. I just really like the smell, the noise, everything that comes with being around cars. My dad used to get me to help him with really basic mechanics, and I just don't know. It's not even like I'm into engineering. I just love cars. I just everything about them. In fact, on the way here, I started going through the cars that I've had, and like,
well, do you know what?
I went through, and there's been some really silly mistakes, and I've never made money on a car. But it's brought me enjoyment.
Yeah. Well, we want to actually run through the list because it is an extensive. I mean, even just from the flash of your phone, then I can see that it's an extensive and exhaustive list. We'll do that in a minute. I think what you said about your dad is actually really interesting because, you know, I've seen your truck at your house, and I always think about your three little boys and think it is like they've got, you know, daddy's got a real life toy truck, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, something that they will never ever forget. But it sounds like your dad was a bit like my dad as well, of that generation whereby my dad was into cars and he was never a mechanic or whatever, but he could do all the basics. And I can still remember him sort of dragging me out on a Sunday afternoon in the pouring rain or whatever, saying, right, come on, I'm going to teach you how to change a tire. I'm like, oh, Dad, oh, it's raining, whatever. But, you know, these life lessons that I'm not sure whether all kids kind of get taught those now, but you know, just all those basics about, you know, how to change a tire, just those basic life skills, which I'm sure your dad did for you as well, you know, and they're things that you need.
I think the problem now is all these modern engines, you can't even get to them. Yeah. You know, they're all just covered up, and I'm no mechanic, but I do go out and tinker with my truck from time to time and adjust the carbs and just play with bits and pieces. And yeah, I changed the fan belt the other day and I thought, I can remember it from my childhood. And honestly, the best memories with my dad are helping him with cars and being with him associated with vehicles, 100%.
I have this similar feeling, actually. My father was in the British karting team when he was a teenager, was also a farmer. And through him, I sat on his knee driving tractors, and then he opened the motorsport door to me. And you know, hey presto, I managed to get a career out of it. And if he'd have played golf or something, I think it would have been a very different story. Yeah. But for me, one of my big memories with him was in an old school Mini, and we were going around a corner. It was icy and the car skidded. And I remember screaming up at Dad going, oh my gosh, let's do it again. And Dad's like, I don't think so. But so for me, it was a skid that made me think, I love this. This is really cool. I must have been about, I don't know, 4 or 5.
But that's a real car, isn't it? The old school Mini. I remember my auntie had one with the big dashboard. And you think how small they were compared to modern Minis. A tiny little thing.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a real driver's car. It's a bit like the 205.
Yes.
You've got to drive it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to start first time every time for me. And I've got to tweak it a little bit here and there. And the problem with modern cars, yes, they're brilliant. And I'm sure we get onto it. But I had the new RS6 a few years back. And it didn't really excite me because it looked after me too well. It didn't sound like I wanted it to sound. And it was just, it didn't feel fast. You looked at the speed and go, oh my God, it didn't feel I'm going that quick. Mm. Whereas older cars, you have to drive them properly. Yeah. You have to work them a little bit. So I miss, and I feel sorry for the modern generation who, what are the cars going to be like in another 10, 15 years' time? They're going to be driving themselves or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, but quite possibly. You know, and the whole sort of concept of a car and the character of a car and the individuality of the car could be completely lost, and we could just be in a whole load of sort of soulless. But I mean, we're getting there now, aren't we, in terms of electric cars. If you were to take the badges off them, you'd struggle to tell an Audi 4x4 electric from a Kia 4x4 electric from a, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The same box.
Yes, exactly. It's sort of on a skateboard chassis with batteries, and then just manufacturers put a different top on.
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, it's getting more difficult for motoring journalists like myself to come up with descriptions about, you know, the variety of electric cars out there, because
I think soulless, does it?
Yeah.
That just explains it. I've got EVs, you know, and there's a purpose for them. And
blistering, you know, quick,
they are
smooth, quiet, comfortable.
I had a Tesla in it for 3 years and it never let us down. It was just point and shoot, drive it. But I was so pleased when it went back. Honestly, I'll see you later. It's just nothing. Means nothing to me.
But this
is like, sorry, but it does. Whereas I've sold other cars and I've literally cried over it.
And the emotion you're tugging back to the 205. Yeah. Exactly.
There's no soul, is there? There's nothing. No soul. There's no character. And these things are really important.
I get really bad range anxiety as well.
Mm.
So last week I was working in Cardiff. And we'd have to go from Cardiff. Crikey, I was all over the country last week. And from Southampton to Cardiff, Cardiff to Birmingham, Birmingham home. And all through my mind, when he was saying 90 miles left, I thought, that's not true. Yeah. I better find somebody to charge soon. Whereas, you know, with a petrol combustion engine, it's costing you a fortune, whatever, but take a bank loan, fill it up, you're off.
Yeah. Well, you can get electric cars that do 500 miles now. There are a couple, I need one of those. So they are, but I always knock at least 100 miles off of my
style of driving.
yeah. And the fact that I like my heated seat and I like my heated steering wheel, so that all sucks it up.
Yeah.
So listen, take us back to the beginning then. First cars are always something that we all, you know, you always remember your first, don't you, Ewan?
Yeah.
So what was it? What first got you behind the wheel of your own, you know, volition?
First car, I was very lucky because basically with my athletics career, it happened quite quickly. I went to the World Junior Championships in 1992 and everyone said, who's your coach? I haven't got a coach. What club do you run for? I don't run for a club. And when I got back, I went to uni and this weird bidding war started where Belgrave Harriers wanted me to sign and they called me up, said, you haven't got a club? I said, no, I'm a student. And they said, well, what would it take to sign? And I said, I don't know. And they said, Ford Fiesta? And I went, oh, okay. And then literally the next day, I got called from Newham Beagles and they said, what have they offered you? I said, they've offered me a Ford Fiesta. He said, meet me tomorrow, I'll buy you a Ford Escort. So my first car was a Ford Escort, 1.6 GL.
Lovely.
Yeah, which was, and I was like 18 or whatever you are at uni. And I was just like, oh my God, someone just bought me a car. I couldn't believe it.
And the car came before any chat about money.
Any chat. It was just like, yeah, obviously it's an amateur sport, but it was just like, I need a car to get around. And that happened. And then, as I said, the grant came through because I'd started to run quite quickly. And I said, oh, to the club. I said, thanks so much. Give the car to someone who needs it. I've got a 205 now. Oh. And I went and bought the 205. Oh. Yeah.
With the money that you should have been spending on
your
warm weather training.
Warm weather and medical bills and all that. Yeah. It just went straight on a car. Yeah.
Can I just ask, why were you running on your own without any support to start with?
So basically, it just really happened quickly in my career in athletics. I kind of, one minute I was doing school sports day. I broke 5 school records out of 5 events. The school teacher pushed me along to the county championships. I won that. Then I went to the English schools and they said, right, the world juniors are in Seoul, Korea, later this year. You're going to be selected. And I went, what? And I knew nothing. It was just like a blur. It happened really quickly.
So within the space of what?
Oh, that one
months?
Summer. One
really?
Summer. Yeah, literally weeks.
I mean, so a life-changing couple of months.
Yeah, to a certain degree. But just because you've done well at junior level, it doesn't necessarily mean that's going to follow through to the senior level.
Yeah.
In fact, it can be really hard. You might be one of the top-ranked athletes in Britain as an under-18-year-old or under 20. And then all of a sudden, you're 21 and you're up against the big boys and you're ranked 10th in the country. So people quit. But for me, it just sort of continued to go well. And that's how I got my first car, which is bizarre, really.
I love the bidding war between the Fiesta and the Escort.
Yeah. I should have lied. I should have said they offered me an Escort. What have you got?
They offered me a Cosworth. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, higher or lower than a Cosworth. Higher.
Yeah.
What came after the 205?
Oh, crikey.
You might have to get your list out.
Get your list out.
Yeah, I think after the 205, oh no, it kind of went downhill, and I shouldn't say this, but then I got sponsored by a Ford garage. And they gave me, do you remember the Ford Probe?
Yes.
Oh, it wasn't good. Yeah. It was not a good car.
This was kind of late 90s Fords, wasn't it? There was the original Puma, there was the Probe, there was the Cougar.
Yeah.
This kind of like 98, 99, something like that.
It must be like 96, 97,
okay,
I think.
All right.
What colour was it? Because they did do
black.
Quite a nice purple Probe.
No, it was black. But the worst bit is, and this is so embarrassing, because it was a sponsor car, I had to have my name and everything on the side.
Oh.
And you feel like a right... You know,
you feel like a right pro, don't you?
Yeah, please don't. I didn't feel it then, seriously.
Did you have Ewan Thomas down the bodywork at the side of the car?
Yeah. Ewan Thomas, because I think I'd just got an Olympic silver. So Ewan Thomas, Olympic silver medalist.
Oh, brilliant.
And Ian, honestly, it wasn't great. It wasn't. Because all of a sudden, you can't flip someone off at the lights or anything. You can't cut someone up because they know who did it.
But did people used to beep you and stuff when you had that on the
side?
Who
are you, mate? I don't recognise you. You used to get loads of grief. But then they took that back. And then I got an Escort Cabriolet, which I thought was quite cool.
Mm.
And then I went up to the Mondeo
ST24. Oh, nice.
Which was good.
Yeah.
Which was
lovely
good.
Lovely chassis.
And then I think it was 1997 and I started to do all right for myself. And I severed my ties with the Ford garage and I bought a Lotus Elise. I jumped the queue.
How on earth do you... What size are you?
I'm 6'2".
6'2". And how did you fit in an Elise?
With the roof off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just... But I,
what
I loved
your
it was
feet?
A go-kart. Yeah, no, it was all
because
right.
Because they got little pedal...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved that car. But I then kind of was a bit frightened that I was going to lose too much money on it. So I only kept it for like about a year and sold it. I'm trying to see what my... Oh, yeah.
But you didn't make money on it because you've never made money on a car.
Never make money. No. Then I went through the TVR stage for a bit.
Oh, no, and when I mean, you definitely no lose
one,
money.
No one's ever made any money on a TVR ever.
No, this is the thing. So I got the TVR, is it Cerbera?
Cerbera.
So I had the Cerbera and I loved it. It was British Racing Green and it was amazing. And believe it or not, never had a problem with it until my ex-boyfriend's boss, so I think...
Your ex-boyfriend?
My ex-girlfriend's boss, sorry. I think that came out a bit weird. I'm going to come out right now. I've got something to tell you all.
Welcome to the podcast.
My ex-girlfriend's boss, she's old TVR, I bet, is breaking down all the time. And literally the next day after he said it to her, I started getting issues with it.
What engine-wise? Or
the exhaust
mechanical?
Fell off and then it started to burn a bit of smoke a little bit. And then I remember I went into a garage to get it serviced in a beautiful part of the world, Malmesbury. Yeah.
Wiltshire.
Yeah, it was a TVR dealer and a Subaru dealer. And he had a Subaru, Japanese import STI, and it looked all chunky, it looked wicked.
Oh, yeah.
And I went, oh, I quite like that. And he just straight off with swap if you want. So I was going in for a service. I didn't even know if it was a good deal or not. And then he gave me the usual, your TVR needs a bit of work here. Yeah, and then thought, okay, I'll swap. So I literally came out.
No way.
With the STI. And someone recently sent me a picture of my car online. Someone who owned it after me said, in case you want to see pictures of it, it's still alive.
And how did it make you feel when you saw the pictures?
Alive still, just missed it.
Yeah.
That noise of that engine.
Oh, yeah. Big gorgeous.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And then I did something a bit stupid with that. I then moved to the Midlands and I went into like a Japanese import place near Castle Donington because I needed some new brake discs and pads. For the
STI. Subaru?
Yeah, for the Subaru. And he had an Evo Tommy Mackinnon limited edition.
No, one of the best cars ever.
It was so good. Mm. And it had these really beautiful, they don't sound it, but brownish wheels and it was a silver car.
Like a sort of like sort of brownie gold, like almost like a bronzy colour.
It was
isn't
so
it?
Nice. And I just said, how much is that? And he said, and I said, part exchange? He went, yeah, you're going to have to chip in. And I got ripped off, but I thought I'm going to have to spend a bit on brake pads and discs anyway.
Yeah, but not that much.
Yeah. So that, and I reckon that was one of the funnest. And also, I'm not the world's best driver, but you can't not look great in one of those cars. No. They totally look after you. So my mates around the Derbyshire lanes thought I was literally Richard Burns, honestly. Yeah.
Do you know how much you paid for that? Do you recall?
I think it was around 17 grand.
Okay.
But so that would have been about 2003, 2004. So I don't know.
So what, 17 all in? And you had the Subaru to Part X?
Oh, no. In total, I think it was.
Yeah. Okay.
I think.
So that's...
It wasn't too bad.
Don't feel too ripped off.
No, it wasn't too bad. It's probably worth a fortune now.
Yeah.
And then something came over me and I went old man. I got a Jag XKR.
See, I like those though.
Yeah. I was too young for it, Dave. I think I was only like late 20s then.
You don't like them either, do you?
Well, it's just a big old beast. It's no Lotus Elise.
No.
It's a Continental Tourer, isn't it?
Yeah. Really, nice.
You know?
I think if I recall it, had 21-inch wheels and split rims. It was a nice-looking car.
Yeah. So the 5-litre supercharged?
I don't know if it was 5-litre or 4.2. But it was like... V8 and it sounded great. But then I went to training in it. And everyone started calling me old man. And bearing in mind, I was the oldest person in the training group. I got a bit paranoid. So I took such a hit. I think I had it 3 months. And I stupidly sold it to a dealer. And I think I sold it for 21. And I think I paid about 27 for it, I think.
And you got out of a Tommy Mackinnon.
I don't, please, I know.
Mitsubishi.
I know.
That's quite bizarre.
You'll be pleased to hear I went next, I think.
Come on then,
well,
come
you might
back.
Not.
Come back to Mama.
There's peaks and troughs in this story.
I went back to TVR, got Tuscan.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked pearlescent blue.
Nice. See, I'm surprised you went...
Because I was getting called old.
No, I know, I get that. But having been down the Evo route,
yeah,
I'm surprised you went back to TVR.
They sounded great, though.
I know they sound great, but...
Yeah.
I loved that.
But any mechanicals with that?
No.
Good.
But I had to get it serviced at a place called TVR Power in Coventry.
Oh, yeah.
And it was costing a lot to service. I remember it was every 6,000 miles. And I think it was about £1,400 a service.
Jeez.
And I think they put the frighteners up and they said, you're going to need an engine rebuild soon on this. And when I heard that,
Those are the two words you don't want to hear at the garage, are they? Engine and rebuild.
Yeah. And once again, I took a big hit on that. Put
oh,
it on auto would, trade.
I know, like I know.
By the way, this is why he's not doing the Martin Lewis money program.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I've done all right with property in life, but not cars.
Perfect. Good.
And then it went really boring. I moved back to Southampton because I was living in the Midlands and I got sponsored by a VW garage. And I just thought, great, they're going to give me a Golf GTI. They gave me a diesel Passat. Or was it a Jetta? No, it's a Passat. And it listen, freeness is goodness, and I was really grateful. But it wasn't where I wanted to be. But luckily, they soon changed that for a Golf TDI, which was great.
Yeah, okay,
great car.
Yep.
Then I was sort of in between cars, and I got probably one of the best cars I've ever owned, I think, for in terms of smiles for miles. I got a John Cooper Works Mini, and I absolutely loved it. The supercharger whined on it. It was loud, and it was really quite strange. So I got it from a guy in Harrogate, and it was on Auto Trader, and I flew up to Leeds, Bradford, wherever, met the guy.
Most people drive up, by the way.
I was driving back. It was a one-way ticket. Okay. Well, I knew I was going to buy it.
Let you off.
Yeah.
And I got there.
That, by the way, completely diminishes any bargaining power that you have, though.
Exactly.
When you fly up there or you get the train up there, because the guy knows that you're going to take the car anyway.
It gets worse.
Oh, geez.
It gets worse. So basically,
You can't do the whole, I'm going to walk away thing, because knows you've got no car.
Yeah, but you could say, I'm going to run away and look how fast I can go.
Well, yeah.
I think you're all going to hate me for what happened next then.
Oh, gosh.
So basically, I'm in the guy's kitchen and the car's mint. It's lovely. It's got bigger wheels on it. It's been lowered. It sounds great. And he said, if we're going to do a deal, you're going to have to fill this form out. And I said, I don't recognise that. It's not the logbook. He said, I'm selling it on behalf of my dad. And I said, well, where's your dad? He said, he died. And I don't know what made me do it. I knocked him down. Yeah, I know. I didn't knock the price.
No, you knocked the price down.
No, didn't knock him out.
No. I thought, while the guy's down,
Man who's losing money left, right and centre, and then you're taking money from him.
He just basically said, me and my sister need to sell it. You know, it's in my dad's name, though. You are going to have to sell it. I think I only took off about 500 quid or so. But you know, when you're buying something, you want to walk away feeling that you've got a bit of a deal.
I go away from a deal feeling that I've been good and wholesome.
You're just too nice a person, essentially, is what this is all about. And just pause for a second there while we just do some quick mid-show housekeeping. Please press subscribe on YouTube if you haven't already so that you never miss an episode. Or you can press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. So, back to the story.
I feel bad.
You've
now
just taken 500 quid
yeah
off the car because of the sob story about the dad.
Well, I was going to knock him down anyway. And I think in my head I was going to try and knock him down like 750. So in my own mind, I wasn't a bad person.
You gave him 250 yeah in your own head.
Because surely if you turn up to buy, you're going to try and haggle a bit, aren't you? No. Oh, that's, Vicky, you're making me feel really bad.
Yeah, I will. Okay.
I'm sure karma's got me after that, because there's some big losses coming up.
Come on, rattle through the biggies.
Okay, I'll rattle through. Should I just leave some of them out? Because honestly, I'm a proper petrol head. Right, okay, so a few years where I had some Alfa Romeos, a couple of BMWs. Then when I was 40, I bought an R8. So when I was 40... Audi R8.
Yeah.
Manual.
Lovely.
V8.
Lovely.
It had taken a big hit. It was secondhand.
Yeah.
So actually, I say I've never made on cars. I did really well with this one. So I paid 50 for it. Just before the year warranty was up, I blew the drive shaft on it. And the guy said, you do realise this would have been about a 10 grand bill. So then I sold it for 50.
Lovely.
So a free car.
And had a lovely year.
An amazing time in it. Yeah. And that car's still going. So the dealer I sold it to tells me the guy who bought it still kept it.
Lovely.
So I absolutely loved that. And then came probably, I would say, my favourite car. Now, it's not the best car, but I've kept this car for 9 years. C63 AMG. Straight piped. Yeah.
You haven't got that anymore, have you?
No, got rid of it.
But I mean, only fairly recently. Fairly recently. 5 years ago, maybe?
That was my... I loved it. Honestly, that car did absolutely everything. The sound of it, because it also had a wide body conversion on it as well.
Ooh,
so it looked like the Black Series, but it wasn't. But it wasn't done like Boy Racer. It just looked really good.
And you didn't have your name written down the side of
it? No, I paid for this one.
I drove one of those to the Belgian Grand Prix and back in Spa, which was just phenomenal. It was a C63 Black. And it was just incredible. It was one of my favourite drives of all time.
Every time I started, the hairs on the back of my neck.
And it was before they reduced the engine capacity, when they were still 6 litres.
6.2,
before
yeah
they brought them down and stuck turbos on them.
I've wound around a racing circuit and it was one of the smokiest, slidiest cars.
Really See, fun. I would have loved you to take me out in some of my cars that I've owned.
And me too, that list, but I'm all
only
over
only if
it.
I'm about to sell them, because you would have ragged them.
But then we could have put one careful lady owner somewhere along the line.
Careful lady owner with a heavy right foot.
And then I went silly. Then I went silly, but I kept the C63. This is going to sound really weird, but I found a bit of money, right? Not like under the sofa. Don't ask, but I genuinely found some money that I didn't know I had. And my financial advisor says nothing to do with me. And it was something that I'd invested such a long time ago I totally forgot about
good
it.
For that. Good
so
for
I went and bought a Huracan.
Like,
I
bought, a Lamborghini.
Yeah, I could have reinvested. but yeah. It was so nice.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, most people, that would have been a real bonus windfall kind of thing. Do you know what? Let's get some up off the mortgage, stick it in a trust for the boys or, you know what I mean? Whatever. I bought a Huracan. I was like, I love that.
That's how I sort of sold it to my dad. I went round. I said, I've got some good news and bad news. And I said, the good news is I found some money. Oh, brilliant. What's the bad news? I bought a Lamborghini. But to be fair, my dad was really angry at me, and then when I visited and showed him, my mum called me up and said, you do realise he's emailed the Scantlebury's, he's emailed the Sullivan's, everyone. He said, my son's got a Lamborghini, and he was so proud.
I love it.
He was so
what
proud.
What colour did you go
it
for?
It was like titanium grey.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. Yeah. Yeah, one careful owner, and I had that for a year as well. Only
did you do
a year.
Many sort of short trips in it, or did you?
Oh, I used it every day.
Did you?
It was my daily. Although I had a C63, the Lambo was my daily.
Wow.
I loved it. And I only sold it because the warranty, I had a 1 year warranty remaining on it. And I just thought, because of what happened with the RA, I just thought I can't afford a huge bill. So I sold, and also Teddy was expected as well. So I thought I better be sensible. So I went and bought a Brabus G-Wagon.
Now, there's practicality and performance wrapped in one package there.
I'll be honest with you, the worst car ever.
Because of the ride?
Well, yeah, so it wasn't the new shape one, it was the one before. And this is how it was sold to me. So my mate Dean, who used to work at Redline up at Harrogate, he said, we got a G-Wagon in, previously owned by Stephen Gerrard. So I was quite, I love football, I was going, oh, okay. And he said, I'll do you a really good deal because it's not shifting. So I bought it. And by the time I got back to Southampton, so maybe a 3-4 hour drive, I called him up. I said, can you take it back? And it was like driving a tractor. Honestly, it sounded amazing. It looked a bit pimpy, but it was not nice to drive.
Yeah.
But I kept it. He said, I'll get it back off you, but you're going to have to keep it at least 6 months.
Aww.
So I kept it. Teddy was born. So I felt safe with the boy in the back. It was a big, sturdy car. Genuinely, it had presence about it. It was good, but it was a bit too... maybe a bit too showy. I don't know. But it was like...
Since the man who had a Lamborghini.
Yeah. I know. I mean, exactly.
Do you know the best Lambo story I had? Right? Yeah, so where I live in my little village is you go down Hamble Lane and it's always terrible with traffic. And I'm in my Lambo one day going home and it's traffic jams all the way along the lane and the school kids are all coming the other way. And this slightly larger boy on a mountain bike chucks his bike down. He comes up and goes, sir, give me a lift home.
Oh.
I said, mate, I can't just take a school bike. He goes, just pretend you're my dad. Just pretend.
That's even worse.
It sounds really weird, but I was a poor lad. I did used to let people sit in it. Because it was one of those cars where you get a B&Q, you come back and there's a queue of kids going around it, you know. So it did, the Lambo definitely had that. But the G-Wagon wasn't great. It was great, but it wasn't. I feel really like...
I get it.
I hope I'm not coming across like, oh, look at me. I'm just a petrol.
No. I mean...
I'm addicted to cars.
I've said this about you before. You have owned in your time more silly cars than anybody I've ever met before.
And I
mean that with the greatest compliment.
It hasn't finished yet.
Go on, rattle the end of the list.
Okay, from there, I went and got a Bentley Continental Onyx, which is a company in Portugal. They send it to Portugal. They give flared wheel arches, massive wheels, big bonnet on it. And it was that... is probably the best car in terms of feeling special getting in it. And I don't think it was an obnoxious, it just looked really cool, sounded nice, looked really good. And that was possibly the biggest mistake because I bought it and then the new shape came out literally weeks after and I knew I was going to take a hit and I sold it to a Premier League footballer through an agent and there was a miscommunication apparently of what I wanted for it and he sold it within like 3 hours. He put on their website, he phoned me up, said, great news, I've sold your car. And it was within 3 hours and I thought, oh, amazing, what'd you get for it? What I asked, and he told me the figure. I went, I didn't
without
ask for that.
Zero.
No, it was like, I think it was like seven less than I said I wanted for it. But yeah, so I took a bit of a hit on that, to be honest with you. But I still had a C63 at that time because it was my true love, my real love. And then Range Rover Evoque, rubbish. RS6, the new one, amazing. But as I said, it just didn't give me that emotion. I sold the C63 to get that. And it didn't give me that thrill when I turned it on, because they've got the rev limiter now. Mm. And I thought, I'll put a Miltech exhaust on it, it will sound better. And it still didn't really do it for me. It was too, this is going to sound weird, the car was too good.
I understand.
That it didn't feel like I was driving it.
Yeah.
It was so refined. It did everything.
Modern systems
it was
as
so
well.
Good.
Does,
yeah.
They do sort of cocoon you a little bit.
Would you ever go back to something like the C63 Estate?
You'd be troubled to find. There's not that many there. All the good ones have probably been sold.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking like something like that, because I know how much you love that C63 and yeah, just that, they're just so raw.
The worst thing is the guy crushed it, who I sold it to. So I sold it to a plumber called Kevin, right, who lives the next village from me. And for about a month or two after I sold it, I was getting direct messages left, right and centre, can you stop driving like an idiot up at Shirley High Street? I said, it's not me, I've sold it. And then someone, I wondered why the registration was B4 Kev. And I said, yeah, a guy called Kevin. And the guy was looning it about. Mm. And then I had a few problems with it. And I said, I didn't have one issue with that car. Mercedes-Benz serviced it every year and it was all good. Then he sold it to someone else and he wrote it off.
Some young kid
took the traction off and crashed it. And it made me really sad. But yeah, in terms of the good stuff, I've gone through it all really. Then it went Defender, which was all right. It was good. Then Tesla, got a Mercedes EQB. At the moment, please don't shoot me.
No, I mean, listen, there's nothing, because it's practical, isn't it? And yeah. At the end of the day, much as you are a little boy when it comes to cars, you're also a dad of three little boys.
Exactly.
And there needs to be some kind of grown-up thinking every so often. So is there an itch that is still to be scratched for you motoring-wise? Or have you pretty much done everything that you could ever want to do in
it's
the car world?
It's quite a comprehensive
world?
List.
It's a big list.
Well, no, I think my biggest
regret
is an Aventador SV, because I got offered one maybe only 6 or 7 years ago. And at the time it was too expensive, but now they've gone through the roof.
Mm.
They're like 400 grand.
But you don't know that at the time though, do you?
No.
That's the thing.
But I do think perhaps it's going that way with the old V12s, you know, Ferrari 812, those kind of cars, which, you know, they just sound amazing. Mm. I think if we are going kind of electric or whatever's happening in the future, I think they're probably the cars to have had.
And to invest in now.
I've missed the boat on that, I think. But I've never... It's a weird one, because people say, well, I don't know if I'd ever have a Ferrari, because my friend's got a Ferrari. And I just think with a Lamborghini, you do look like an obnoxious idiot, but you're kind of cool with it. It's so in your face. Where I feel Ferrari drivers get... You won't get let out at junctions. People think... I won't swear, but people think bad of you.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
something like a Lambo, you're so clearly...
Yeah,
it's kind of cool, if that makes sense. So I don't think I'd ever really want a Ferrari, unless, you know, I know someone who services, and from time to time some good deals come through.
Yeah.
So my mate recently bought a 430 really cheap, because we won't ask too many questions, but apparently the guy needed 50 grand by the end of the day. Don't ask questions.
Okay.
And the car was worth way more. So there's deals out
there.
There
are deals out there.
There are
exactly.
deals out there. But I'm a bit worried now that I've chatted like an extensive list of cars. I'm going to sound like a right motoring.
No.
I just, Dave's known me. You've both known me a long time. I just really love cars. And I blame my dad for that. And it's just, there's something amazing about cars. And that's what I worry about the future, that we're going to lose that feel. That's why I've gone for the 205 and the truck.
Yeah.
And the truck's horrible, by the way. It's absolutely disgusting to drive. It's built to look good. It's not built to move. It does move.
How is it over speed bumps?
Oh, it's on hydraulic. No, the air ride can go up and down.
Okay,
but
cool.
Basically,
which the kids must love.
Yeah, they love it. But because the suspension's got to sort of deviate so high, the range of being flattened, you know, aired out to drive in, it's like a tractor. So I'm fighting the steering wheel the whole time. When you're driving it, you're actually in a fight. I don't let go of the steering wheel ever. So basically, it's a 76-year-old truck that's designed to be a lot higher than what it is. I've built it to look good rather than to drive well.
Yeah. I sense that the Mercedes-Benz would be the one car that you would want to keep. Say you've got that already in the garage. What is the other one you would pull out from your repertoire?
I miss it so much. I think if I've got the C63, that's
yes,
a daily, that's
bank.
All good. I'd go back to the Huracan, I think.
Would you?
Yeah, I'd go for something silly, like just a weekend toy, but I'd do things to it. You know, twin turbo or something. You're talking as if like money's no. I'm pretending
course,
that I can do it. Like,
yeah,
money's
no
object. I'd go back to the Huracan,
and
I'd be able to afford to service it. And I think.
And who would be in the passenger seat?
See, if I say my boy Teddy, then my other two are going to get
exactly.
really upset.
Yeah.
I'd rotate
listen.
The kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just let Teddy listen to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's fair enough. No, the thing is that when you have got three little boys, you have to just do. You've got to do one at a time, don't you?
Yeah, you're not allowed a favourite, but I've got a favourite.
Oh my gosh, you can't say that.
You're too young.
Yeah. By the way,
no, the thing is, without getting too deep into it, my boy Teddy was really sick. So I've got, as a child, he was really, really ill. So, yeah. Like, to see him now be a 7-year-old, fully fit boy, plays football.
He's
my angel boy. He's my special one. They're all special, clearly. I'm joking. I haven't got a favourite. But Teddy, there's something unique about him. So he would be my passenger.
No, it's good. He's a lovely little boy. Well, they all are lovely little boys. Right, Ewan, before we get into final question territory, we need you to take part in our quick fire round, please. It's called 0 to 60.
Ooh.
Cleverly, because you will have almost exactly 60 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you possibly can. Myself and my glamorous assistant here, Vicky, we're going to ask the questions of you. Okay, so Vicky Butler-Henderson, if you can get ready with the first question, I'm going to prime the stopwatch.
There's no right or wrong answer here, no? There's not algebra or...
No, essentially. No, there's no real right or wrong.
Okay.
The other thing to say is that when you hear this noise, then you're out of time, okay?
Okay.
Right, so get ready with the questions. You and Thomas, if you're sitting comfortably, your time starts now.
What was your favourite poster that you had on your bedroom wall as a kid?
Oh, don't know, the A-Team.
What was your first automotive crush?
Vicky Butler-Henderson.
Hot hatch or supercar?
Hot hatch.
Clarkson, Hammond or May?
Oh, May.
What was your favourite era for cars?
1990s.
What's the capital of Turkey?
Istanbul.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
What's the worst habit in the car? Your
farting.
Worst habit.
Farting.
Right.
Aston Martin or Mercedes?
I've not had an Aston Martin, so I'll say that.
Yeah, you need to get
one.
Name the coolest TV car of all time.
Kit.
Muscle car. Or Italian flair?
Muscle car.
Do you like celery?
It's all right.
Ford or Vauxhall?
Ford.
Spice Girls or Sugar Babes?
Spice Girls.
Red sauce or brown sauce
red
on
sauce.
A bacon sandwich?
Bacon, red
crisps
sauce.
Crisps or chocolate?
Crisps.
French cars or German?
German.
And you are out of time, Mr. Ewan Thomas.
You've done very well.
Is Istanbul correct, by the way?
No, it's not. And I'm going to take a mark off for that because I think it's Ankara. We may go to a steward's inquiry.
I sound like a right Ankara now.
I think it is Ankara, right, which means that you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
You were quick with your answers.
Istanbul 11, is in
12,
Turkey, though. I've got
13,
the right, yeah.
14, 15. 16 I'm going to give you for that.
Okay.
Oh, hang on. There you go. I always forget to do it at the other end. Right, but there you go.
Time's
up.
My first crush, by the way.
I know
we're of the same age, but I'm just saying.
But that wasn't
I'm
that
being
actually,
genuine.
That actually wasn't what it meant. I was
expecting you to say a car.
We thought you were going to say something like a Lamborghini Countach or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, a very esteemed driver and presenter.
Fine. I mean, you know, I didn't know that we were going to go down the road of like Vicky Butler-Henderson or Daisy Duke or whoever it might have been.
Daisy Duke was all right.
Daisy Duke would have had Daisy Duke over me any day.
Even
on a day of the week. Oh,
that's a tremendous score.
Yes, well done. Well done. It's time for your final question.
Oh,
you believe it already? So this is your dream drive, So we need you to paint the picture for us. Tell us where in the world you are. What are you listening to? Who's with you? And most importantly, what are you driving? Money, no object.
I think. I could say something like Route 66 or something. It's too boring. It's too straight. I'm going to go somewhere twisty. So I'd go, I don't know, maybe the Alps or somewhere where it's a real driver's route.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go for an Aventador SVJ.
Oh, check you out.
Yeah, and I'm just going to hear those pop bangs and crackles through tunnels. And yeah, and who am I going to tell? I think I'll have to take someone. Do you know what? He'd be surprised to hear this. I'm going to take my dad.
That's nice.
I'm going to take my dad with me. My dad's not a young man anymore. And hopefully it will make him feel how he used to make me feel when he used to take me out in his car when I was a young boy. So I'd return, I'd pay it forward. I'd take my dad out. We're in the Alps, SVJ. It's loud, it's obnoxious. The windows are open.
Yeah.
And I'm loving it. And there's no music. The music is the car.
Mm.
Hear, hear. Oh, Ewan, I love that.
That's kind of perfect,
isn't it? I
actually
would love to do that.
Yeah, you can.
Do you know? Well, you should.
Well, I can't because they're about 500 grand.
Well, you can hire them.
Okay.
Hire them for the day.
Or the other thing is that even if it's not that car, you could still do that with your dad.
Yeah.
Even if it was in something else. Because
take him in the 205.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, but why not? You know, because as we said before, it's all, I mean, this is the nice thing about this. It all goes full circle, isn't it? Because in the same way that you're remembering your childhood as a little boy and how your dad got you into cars, and in the same way that you're then trying to pass that on with your three as well, yeah, and spending that time with them, and that's why you've got the truck and that's why you've got the 205 and all these things that they will remember forevermore. But then isn't it nice the fact that you can then go back and almost repay your dad,
yeah,
for sort of introducing you to this world and this passion, which is great.
It's amazing that I feel quite emotional just because I'm imagining that journey. But you think the love of cars is why we're in this room chatting together. Yeah. It's the memories I've built with my kids so far, the memories with my dad, and I'm sure lots of people listening can, you know, think back to great times to do with cars. And that's why your podcast is awesome, and it's been a pleasure to be on. Thank you for having me.
You are very, very welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I just think it's, you know, a car is a metal thing, but it pulls the emotions from all of us. It's
not though, is it? I know we've got to finish, but for some people, it's just a box with four wheels to get from A to B. It's never been a mode of transport for me.
Me neither.
It's been my happy place. It's my go-to place. And yeah, I've lost too much money on cars, but so what? I've smiled while I've done it. I've been smiling every single pound note that's gone out the window. I've been loving it.
Well, listen, that's just about it for this week's Fueling Around. I think we need to get out now before we all start crying, because it's all starting to get very emotional.
Or well, before I go online and order an Aventador.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. Fueling Around, brought to you by Adrian Flux, as UK's largest specialist insurance broker. Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help save you money on your car, your bike, or even your home insurance.
And a very big thank you to our super special guest, the lovely Ewan Thomas. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, it's been really good, Ewan. Thank you very much for joining us. Don't forget to press subscribe on YouTube so that you never miss an episode. Or you can press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Thank you very much for joining us this time. We will see you again soon. Bye-bye for now.